Do please be seated. I wonder what has surprised you this time round. What has been the big surprise this Christmas? Afterwards, we may have the chance as you leave from here to continue to give thanks and to celebrate, to compare notes briefly on the way. It's no surprise that the cost of Christmas is up again. I gather that if you calculate the cost of the 12 days of Christmas and you price up everything, as some good people do, that we're now up by 3.5% this year to £22,500 for the cost of the 12 days of Christmas in the song that we sing. In this song that we have just sung, just as there is no surprise that the cost has gone up, there is also no surprise that some people struggle to sing it. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie, but it's not still. And yet again, the celebrations have been curtailed for fear and for concern about the political and the military situation in that place. But I'm glad we sang it. With those words, the hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. It captures all that we hope for and all that we fear, and tells us that we may find the answer for both those things in the events of Christmas time. Well, I wonder what has surprised you, and I wonder what may still surprise you tomorrow. We've just spent some of the time today with our daughter and her husband and the two grandchildren. The guys are pretty wound up by now, and they're only 4 and 2 or so, but we've been racing around, so I think we're ready for anything for tomorrow, and we'll see what they say. I don't know whether the reaction will be, "Ooh, that's just what I always wanted." Maybe they're a bit young to say that yet, but maybe you'll hear that in your circle somewhere. Or you might hear, "Whoa, that's not at all what I was expecting." Maybe that will happen in your world somewhere. You see, Isaiah starts with what God's people have always wanted. Isaiah spoke and wrote hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And his people's concern was Jerusalem, their capital city, the focus of their faith, the place where they believed God would meet with them. Their central place, the place where they got their identity, the place of hope for them. And clearly at the time that Isaiah spoke and wrote, they were under pressure, just indeed, as many parts of the Middle East where this story takes place are under pressure at the moment. They want the reputation of their place restored. They want their city repaired, if you like. They want protection against their enemies and against those who abuse their lifestyle and their systems. And above all, they long for a rescuer to come. And if you like, to reset it, to rebuild it, to return it to its proper place on the world scene, they feel. And God, at the end of that first reading, promises to do that. So in one sense, what's promised looks like being just what they've always wanted. But then comes that second reading from John's Gospel, hundreds of years later. And it happens, but not how they expected it. Whoa, that's not what I was expecting. For sure, The Saviour who comes is for them. And the promise all those years ago is now fulfilled in Jesus. But it turns out he's not only come for them. John takes what was local in Isaiah and sets it in a global perspective as he begins his gospel, as if to say, this is for everyone, in every place, at every time. Indeed, John's gospel, if you take time to read it, again and again and again has a phrase like this, if anyone believes, or whoever believes, or whoever responds. It has everybody in view. This is global. There's more. This word, in Greek and Roman minds, was the power behind the universe. Who's already seen Star Wars? You know, it's the Force. The Force has indeed awoken, says John 2,000 years ago. Jesus is born. And what it means is this, it's not a force. It's not some nameless thing that drives the universe. It's a person. It's the person of Christ. What it means is God has burst onto the scene. He who made the stars and gave everything their life has, in verse 14, we're told, made his home among us. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, the translation puts it like this. He has moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that a brilliant description? God himself, through Christ, has moved in amongst us to be involved in our world, for better and for worse, and to transform that world, to give it a future and a hope. Packed into this baby is nothing less than God himself, revealing himself to all people everywhere in language we can all understand, the language of human personality. And by coming amongst us like this, he turns everything upside down. He turns everything around. Instead of everybody coming into Jerusalem, as in Isaiah's time, making their way to God's place and having to find God's people, God now sends his Son into the world. And then he continues to send his people into the world with this good news on their lips and shaping their lives. Isaiah started with what was longed for. Oh, I really hope I get this. I really hope this is what I've always wanted. And John shows us how it happened, but not as they had expected. The picture is changed completely. It goes global. It becomes universal. It's available to everyone. And it is good news. It is hope at a time when good news and hope is in short supply. So those words that we read right at the beginning of our time together capture the impact. Let me read them again. You can find them on the front of the service booklet. When the kindness and love of God, that's what God is like. The kindness of love of God, our Savior, appeared. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Whoa, that's not what I was expecting. We don't have to work our way to God. That's what it means. Because he has come to us. And we're told, incredibly, that he has cleaned us up, renewed us from the inside out, filled us with a new spirit, and assured us now through Christ and through the events of this celebration that we are welcome in his presence if we will embrace these things, if we will let them touch and change us. We ran our own world, our own way. And we're seeing very clearly that we've not run it very well. Now, we're told we are made heirs. We are made inheritors of hope. That's the impact of this celebration. That's the good news of this night. And that's the thanksgiving and rejoicing that we will continue tomorrow in a few short minutes. That's the good news we want this world to hear and to receive. For some, it will be what they've always wanted. Some know it, some don't. They're looking, they're searching. For others, it will be totally unexpected. But either way, that's the heart of what we're celebrating tonight. May God open our hearts and minds afresh tonight. May God draw us close to himself in a new way. And may God give us strength to speak these things and to live these things as we go on from here. Amen. It is good news, and we're going to sing of that good news just now. Let's stand and sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come."